pray. I want to do that more, the praying that we did, and I felt that, and I just think that's a wonderful thing. Amen. And the Lord draws stuff out of us, and I've always, it was John Wimber who said that in church, what was it? I forget the phrase he used. Basically, everyone gets to play. There are no bench warmers in the kingdom of God, and so all of us have a part to play in some way, shape, or form, and I just feel like we should do that more often. Amen. I'll share a few things this morning. Probably not going to share all of it, but I kind of want to give a quick recap of you from what I shared a couple weeks ago. Thank you guys for giving so generously to Jared and Danielle last week as well as they were prepared to go to Romania. Turn with me to Acts chapter 17, verse 1 through 8. Acts 17, verse 1 through 8. And I spoke a couple weeks ago using this passage, and I'm going to kind of continue in a little vein with this. I'm not going to move on from it. But Acts chapter 17, verse 1 through 8. It's one of my favorite verses in the entire Bible, verse 6 and 7. But it says, I'm starting in verse 1, it says, "Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there is a synagogue of the Jews. Then Paul, as his custom was, went into them, and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, saying, 'This Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ.' And some of them were persuaded, and a great multitude of devout Greeks and not a few of the leading women joined Paul and Silas. But the Jews who were not persuaded became envious, took some of the evil men from the marketplace, and gathering a mob, set all the city in an uproar and attacked the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. But when they did not find him, they dragged Jason out and some of the brethren to the rulers of the city, crying out," I love this so much, "that they would say this of us." Amen. "Those who have turned the world upside down have come here too. Jason has harbored them, and they're all acting contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying there's another king, Jesus." And I spoke about this a few weeks ago. Just a quick recap. There's three main churches in Acts. You have the Jerusalem church, which was basically kind of where it started. If the folks in Jerusalem were still running things, you and I would be believers today. It was not the story of the perfect church. It was this early account of the beginning of the church. And so their whole philosophy was just Jewish. So if I'm not born Jew, then I'm outside. That switch, remember we talked about, the Lord gave revelation to Peter and Paul got saved. But then the Antioch church, starting in chapter 13, that was the sending church, which I believe is a real model of what the Lord's doing today. So it wasn't just come, it was come to be equipped and sent and go. And there's also, which I haven't spoken about, the Ephesus church, and that was the city transformation church, which I say amen to that. That stirs me up. But this was a passage here, "Though they've turned the world upside down, have come here also, and they preach another king, Jesus." And just to recap what I shared, the kingdom of God, okay? The words of Basilia, Jesus came, said, "Lay hands on the sick, preach the kingdom of God." It's a different kingdom from the kingdom of the world, amen? And there's two different kingdoms, kingdom of the world, cosmos, it means an orderly system. So when we're born again, remember, said, how do I enter into the kingdom of God? You must be born again. So when I'm born again, I enter into the kingdom by birth. I'm born again, my spirit's alive to God, and I become part of the kingdom of God. In other words, my king is now Jesus. Simple way to put it, right? Not fancy. Jesus is my king. He's Lord of my life. So his pattern, his way of doing things is different from what I get in the kingdom of the world, right? So in the kingdom of God, things can be flipped. So I receive by giving. I use the verse this morning, "The greatest shall be the servant of all." Remember when Jesus was washing feet and Peter's like, "No, you don't do this. You're the king." And Jesus said, "If you don't allow me to do this, you have no part of me." Jesus, the king of all kings, took the lowest place of all. Humble yourself, you'll be exalted. It's completely opposite if you think about it from the way of the world. And so in Colossians, it talks about we've been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son. Amen? So just like an ambassador, my citizenship is in heaven. Amen. Matthew talks about the kingdom of heaven. So my citizenship is in heaven. He is my king. So I might live on in this world, the prince of power of the air, but I'm governed by a different set of principles, by a different life. I'm governed by the King of Kings, Jesus. Amen. Just a simple way to put it, kingdom of God, or basilia, it means a domain and a realm. And so that's what happened, and they brought it in there. And I shared a few weeks ago, I talked about salt and light in Matthew chapter 5. It says, you're the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? One thing salt does is it prevents corruption. And I share this story just as a recap. My wife told me it stuck out to her. I was listening to a guy. He's a political commentator. If I mention his name, everyone probably know who he was. But he was sharing. He went to Auschwitz. And to see the tragedies that happened. He said the thing that stuck out to him when he was there is there was two churches not far at all from the place where the atrocities took place in Auschwitz. And he said, it got me mad because I looked in their old buildings and I asked, and those churches were there while that was going on. And it just, it struck me. And so then I asked questions, just as a recap. How can I be the salt of the earth, or how can I be a light in the world if I have no idea what's going on in the world he's called me to be in, right? Amen? If I'm not aware, so if you're salt of Pawcatuck and Westerly, we have a wide group of people. So it means I have to some degree, be engaged and recognize, just kind of like what Brad did on levels. Now recognize what's going on around me. Amen? And I'm aware of what's going on around me. And I ask another question. I heard a minister say, you know, I ask guys how their churches are doing. They say, well, we're doing good. We've got this many people here. We've got this many people there. We've got this much. And so what if we switched it? And we said, so those who have turned the world upside down have come here also. And I say, our church is doing well. The cancer rates dropped in our city because Bob's going to the hospitals and praying for everybody.
Amen.
You know, the fatherlessness rate, childlessness rate is gone because the church is being salt and light. Amen. What if we shifted our perspective to where, yes, hey, the Lord does some wonderful things, but He's also called us to be salt and light to the communities He's called us to. Amen? So what really good are we? So the Lord's speaking to my heart. I'm speaking to someone this week about it. If the area God's called me to is going to pot, what does that say about the people of God in the city? Amen? I would love for them to say in New Song Assembly, those who have turned the world upside down, oh, they're here too. They're preaching another king, Jesus. So our world's getting flipped around because they're preaching another King Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
And so the Lord would just awaken us to that. And so our model of success is things, you know. These folks got saved in our church, but also these folks got saved out there. Or this person's coming here, but we also did it to the guy out there. Amen? It's just a good way to think, and the Lord's stirring me. If you have any ideas for anything, just come talk to me. That's kind of where my heart is right now in a lot of ways. And I spoke some about, remember we talked about Daniel. I love the story of Daniel, Prophet Daniel. Daniel was a man who, when he went into a kingdom that was the opposite from, that was not godly, and he went in there and they said, you know, I'm not going to defile myself with the same things you're defiling yourself with, right? Remember, I'm just going to eat the vegetables, I'm not going to have all the other stuff. He went in, he didn't bow down to the king. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't. When he saw the edict, he went down, he prayed. And I love the passage, he says, just as he was a little boy, he got down and prayed three times a day. And so he never altered who he was and what God had called him to when he was in a place that was different. Amen. It's a good testimony for us. Whether I'm on the job, however I am, my principles as a son and daughter of God shouldn't change. Right? I line up with him. Amen. Daniel always honored the leadership he had. He always honored, and I spoke about that, and we end up getting onto anger. But he always honored, and we just had an election. And I say this, whether you're God one or not, you pray for the leaders, and you show them honors as children of God. But one thing also Daniel had that sticks out to me, and I'm going to share this to the best of my abilities. Daniel, he knew who he was. Okay, one of the reasons I think our country in a lot of ways is in a mess is because people don't have a clue who they are. I was listening to something. It was a guy, his name is Dennis Prager, and he does these little, he was on a college campus, and he was sharing, talking with these young kids. And I had to learn, because do you know, I think Facebook said there's 51 or 71 different genders. Has anyone heard of that? So it's good to understand. And so I got to listen to these young guys in college, and I got to hear their perspective. And I'm thinking, I don't understand what in the world. It makes no sense. And I'm trying. People don't have a clue who they are. Amen. They don't have any idea who they are. And I heard Bill Johnson said this, and I loved it so much. He said, Jesus came to an orphan planet to reveal the Father. Amen. He was the Son of God. He was the pattern Son. Jesus knew who he was, did he not? Remember when he was tempted in the wilderness? How did Satan tempt him? If you are the Son of God. If you are the Son of God. He knew who he was. The passage I shared on earlier when he washed their feet, it says somewhere in there, he said, Jesus, knowing who he was, stooped down and washed the cow manure. I added that because that's what it was on their feet, or camel manure, off of their feet, because he knew who he was. And it's imperative, because we live in a society where people can say, I'm one of 71 genders. I'm still trying to learn it because I want to understand where they're coming from so I can speak to the issues of their day. But it's important that we as believers understand, who are we? And I'm going to really, really simplify it, because maybe it will stick with you. I don't want to spend the whole sermon on it. But they would say this back home, you're either a saint or you're an ain't. And I don't know how else to say it. It's kind of chintzy, but it kind of sticks with you. You're a child of God or you're not. Okay? Either Jesus is my king, or I'm governed by the prince of the power of the air. Amen? So in Christ, distinctions, there's neither male nor female, Jew nor Gentile, so it doesn't matter. I've shared this story. I'll use Willie as an example. He comes, so he's from a completely different country, different culture. But when I look at him, I don't see that. I look at him and he's my brother. Because that's what God does. That's what the kingdom of God is. Why? Because we have the same Father. It's what our identity is. And it's important that we understand that. As in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. I'm either in Adam or I'm in Christ. I won't take time to go through all of that. But do a study of it if you want. My race is sacred. It is, as believers. We believe the race is sacred. We believe marriage is sacred. We believe whether I'm male or female, that's a sacred thing. And it shapes who I am. But my true identity is as a son of God. Or a daughter of God. Okay, speaking for me, it's a son of God. I had a privilege this week. I met with a guy, and he pastors in Connecticut, a charismatic church. It's probably the biggest charismatic church in Connecticut. I had the privilege of sitting with him, and it was good. The Lord adjusted me in a lot of different ways. But he said, the first thing he said, the one thing I keep in mind and that I focus on all the time is sonship. And what do you mean when he said that? He said, when I get away from who I am as a son of God or as a daughter of God, I forget who my true identity is, I get distracted. I get restless. I get down. I get this. I get this. And that was surprising. I said, you actually get down sometimes. He's like, oh, boy. So that's like my profession. So whatever your profession is, my success and my identity is not what I do. We hear this all the time, but it's true. My identity is not what I do. It's not how I feel on a certain day. It's not what's going on. My identity is as a son of God. And the Lord let me experience this some this week. I won't give you all the details, but I was beating myself up in some areas. And sometimes the Lord speaks to me in just ways that speak to me. And in the midst of all that, I felt the Lord share. And Aaron, you gave me a word, actually, that lined up with it this morning when we were over there, that the Father God was just so pleased with me as His Son, despite how I felt my performance was in certain areas. And I can't describe it if you've had it. And I just said, oh man, I felt such a peace, such a presence, such everything, because the Lord kind of let me live my message this week. And I said, doesn't matter, I'm your Son. You're my Father, and you're proud of me. And I remember I went up, it was in the evening, and it went up, and it's like, sometimes when the Lord comes on me, I have a hard time even speaking. I just had a hard time. I was like, gosh. And I just felt it, because my identity is not shaped in how well I think I'm doing something. It's not how well your career is. It's not how well your this is. My identity, and it sounds so simple, but it can be so hard to live. And my identity is a son and daughter of God. And it's good that we become aware of that, because we have to be a distinction if we're going to be a people, those who have turned the world upside down to come here also. It means we have to be distinct. And part of my distinction, sounds simple, I know who I am in Christ. I know who my Father is. I'm secure because I'm a son of God. Amen? One of the things in Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his own image, in the image of God he created him. Male and female he created him. It's important sometimes to get back to roots. And Rabbi Zacharias said this. He said, if someone's an atheist, it's not that they don't believe anything. It's that they will begin to believe anything. And that really stuck with me, because I might not believe anything. I don't do this. But eventually, if I lose my foundation, then all of a sudden I'm stuck in a world where there's 71 genders, and I don't have a clue how that happened like that. Because I've lost my base. And it's important that we as a church can speak to those issues and not just retreat from it, but be able to speak into it with something that's different and that's unique from the heart of God, because he's my king and I represent a different kingdom. Amen? Mm-hmm. It's important. Sometimes it's good to educate yourself on what. Sometimes I watch, I listen, I read things just to educate myself. How are people thinking? Because if I'm going to speak to them, if I'm going to represent Christ to them, I have to have some basis of where they're coming from. How can I bring Jesus into that situation, right? I've shared this before. So God created man in his own image, in the image of God he created him. And any theologian you read will say this. What it means is that we're actually image bearers of God. And there's a guy, he's a guy, N.T. Wright. He's this theologian. I like some of the stuff he says, some of the stuff I doesn't. He's just a brilliant guy if you ever want to listen to or read him. But he described image bearer in this way, and it stuck with me. He said it's like an angled mirror. He said when I was a little boy, he said I would get sick, I'd be in bed, there'd be an angled mirror my mom and my dad would put right here so I can be in bed but still see what's going on around. And he said that's can kind of be like to be an image bearer for God. And so I wrote down what he says, so we can reflect his love and the stewardship of the world. So basically, the scriptures talks about looking into the perfect law of liberty as we gaze upon him. If we're image bearers of Christ and we take that as our responsibility, there should be some areas and some aspect of our life where people can look at us and say, there's a reflection in you that's different. Man, I don't know what it is, but what is it? Because I'm reflecting the character and the nature of Jesus. Amen? I'm an image bearer. I'm looking at him, and so is the world. They don't even have, it's hard for me to think, but some people have no conscious of God whatsoever in any part of ever in their life. Amen? I have it every day. It's hard for me to relate to. Some people never have it, so there has to be an instance in a situation where I can reflect in some degree, where the Lord's done such a work in my heart and in my life, and I carry myself in such a distinct way where I truly am salt and light. Hey, there's a distinction there. It's like the mirror. And they might not be looking at God, but they might be looking at you, and they're seeing the reflection. Oh, okay, what's different? And then it opens up over time. Well, my king is Jesus. So if I'm turning the world upside down, I'm preaching another king. I'm preaching Jesus. Amen? Amen. Amen. So identity is important. Let me share this too. The scripture says we're no longer a slave but a son. Actually, I'm not going to share that. I'm going to move on because of time. there's a lot of unique things regarding our understanding as sons and daughters of God that I would like to share, but we're always to be maturing in that aspect. Amen. Let me say this. We are children of God. Amen. When we come to God, they shall be called children of God. But it's our job as believers, as sons and daughters of God, to constantly, I mentioned this morning,
to be maturing, to reflect more and more and more of God. If you look even in some original language, it's a word technon and weos, so it can be a son who is basically a child, and at some point those who are led by the Spirit of God, those are the sons of God. Okay? So there's something within all of us that aspires to be a fully mature son. But let me say this. I'm going to move on. Because I'm a son of God, there's a standard to my life. There's something that has to stand out, that has to be different. I was reading a guy. There's one guy I read. He really stretches me. And his name is Chris Valentin. And he made a comment. He said, I worry about this, and I want you to hear everything I say. He says, I worry sometimes about being identified as a Christian. And why he said that, listen to me. He said, because in a lot of respects, especially here, and I've seen it, we've watered down what that means so much. And the cross no longer means anything. Okay? He says, I'd rather be sometimes identified as a Christ follower. And what he meant, as a believer, as a maturing child of God, as being a son of God, it means that there's responsibility. And there's where I went to Bible school, they had some, well, I won't share that, but I will say this, they had an Amos, they had a plumb line on the pulpit right here. If you ever read Amos, it talks about the plumb line. And the idea, and there's a reason they did this, but the idea behind it, if you're going to speak for the Lord, if you're going to be an image bearer of Christ, we have to get back to the place where my life also measures up to the character and the nature of God. Amen. I can't live a helter-skelter life. Okay? What I want to speak to you this morning, and I'm going to be brief with it, is who you are. I don't want to be, don't do this, this, or that. But I believe as children of God, all of us in here born again, as a son and daughter of God, I want to speak to you as a son and daughter of God. The word for sin, it's a martia, it's a martiology, it's a fancy word, but basically what it means is I miss the mark, I fall short of the character of Christ. So when I say this as a son and daughter of God, when I sin, it's not because, oh, I just can't help it. I forgot who I fell short of the character of Christ, because that's not who I am. Amen? It's not, that's who I am, it's just what I do. No, that's not who I am. I missed the mark. I'm a son and daughter of God. Amen? My nature is I line up with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I don't have to do that, but if I do, I can repent. I want to share a story with you. My dad, I wish every man could hear it. I thought about sending the message to the men in our church, but there's a man at my home church. He's been an elder there for over 20 years, and he was really influential in my life. Tremendous teacher. He really helped me out at a point in my life. And he spoke in church, I guess it was 2 weeks ago, and my dad said, you have to go back and listen to this. And he was an elder in our church. He's been an elder in our church. But I want to say this, and I hadn't really thought about it much, but it needs to be said. As an elder in the church, he's fully restored now. He shared about how God redeems. But he fell into some sin. And one thing he said that was interesting, he said it was in 2006, he said, my accountability partner, my prayer partner, moved to Florida. And he said, it was just me. First and foremost, I want to challenge everyone to have someone, that some type of accountability partner or prayer partner to some degree or some level. He said, because what happened, he says, at my job, and I began working 60 to 80 hours a week, and his defenses were down. I didn't have my prayer partner anymore. I didn't have my accountability partner. My defenses were down. I wasn't spending time with the Lord. So what happened? He said, there's a man I work with who sent me a pornographic email. And he said, I entertained it and opened it. And from there, it went downhill for him pretty fast. And I remember the year span in our church, because I was there at the time, and I really saw him. He said, I was ashamed to go to church. He used to teach, excellent teacher. I was like, why isn't he teaching anymore? He said, I would purposely stay away and schedule myself to work on Sundays because I was so miserable. Long story short, his wife called him. He's fully restored. So let me say this. If I sin, 1 John talks about this, I have a simple,
The blood of Jesus will cleanse me from all sin.
Amen.
And if I repent, and so what am I doing? What was this man? Why did I share that story? For a couple different reasons. One, take heed lest you fall, the scripture says. It's possible for anyone. But if I do that, I want to be careful that we don't make that our identity. Well, I'm just this. My identity is I'm a son of God. Amen. It's not I want to give an example that all of you would know. Sometimes I've heard this said, go to Alcoholics Anonymous. Well, I am an alcoholic. I had someone who went to one of these meetings before tell me this. They said, I realized I was saying every week I was going in, you're an alcoholic. No, I used to be an alcoholic. My identity might not be something that shaped my life. Maybe it shaped my life, but it doesn't define who I am. That was who I am, but now I'm a child of God. I have a different King, Jesus. It's in my spiritual DNA to be in alignment with Him. Amen? It's in my spiritual DNA to be in alignment with Him. But if I stub my toe, no matter whether you're an elder who has this tremendous revelation and great teacher, it's possible. It means you can be fully restored. Why? Because Jesus is so good. And you're a child of God. And I turn, repentance. I've said this before, repent. Two words, repent. Pent is a penthouse. It means something that's high up. It means I repent and I go back to the place where God has called me to be. Do not set your mind on things of the earth, but things in heaven, Colossians tells us, right? So I leave the chicken pen and I go back up here to where God has called me to be. Amen? That's who we are. That's my identity. Amen? My identity is a child of God. Remember, I had all those, and I haven't passed them out yet. But I had those things, those I am confessions we did a couple months ago. I need to pass them out. I apologize for that. But it's like taking a shower in the Spirit almost. I am a child of God. I am redeemed. I'm washed in the blood. We sang this morning. I am an overcomer. As Paul said, nothing. I don't let anything overcome master me. I forget the passage, what he said. I don't have to sin every time I get the chance. Amen? I don't. And it's important that as a people of God, we get back to this plumb line. I was reading, I'm going to close with this. We've been long. There's a pastor, I know I haven't talked to him in years, but he wrote something on his Facebook wall. And he shared about how years ago, you know, I think even Yale was built as a college for seminary, I think. Correct me if I'm wrong. Harvard. These different schools and these different institutions were founded and based upon the principles of God. And sometimes it's simple, and it's easy in a spirit-filled church to say, well, we don't have, we're not open to this or that, but sometimes it's just a simple issue of forgetting who I am and allowing other things to come in that, I'll call it sin, or weights that so easily entangle us that Paul writes about Hebrews, or whoever wrote Hebrews writes about. But we let those things come in, and all of a sudden, the purity of the gospel, our distinction as salt, and our distinction as light, can get muddied because things from the world come in because I forget the character of Christ. Amen? That we walk and empower all that Jesus began to do and to teach. We're sharing that. I was sharing that with you this morning. Lead you to share something with me out of the passage. So all that Jesus began to do, not have to teach it, but do it. It means my life. There's a standard to my life I have to live as a son of God. Amen? As a child of God, there's something that has to line up with that. And so if you think about it, he was writing it, and he gave the passage in Psalms 2, why do the nations rage and the people plot vain things? He says they cast off, I forget what the passage is, but they basically cast them off. Get with the Lord. If there's an area in your life, and I shared about my old elder earlier because I felt like someone needed to hear that. If there's an area in your life that doesn't line up with the purposes of God, doesn't line up with who He is, I want to encourage you. Find someone, go to God, and if you need, find someone to be an accountability partner for you. Because if we're going to be people like they said in Acts 17, who know who we are, they who have turned the world upside down have come here also.
I have to be different. Amen? I have to be different. I have to have a different quality of life. If the Lord uses me to go to Yale and raise up Yale as a school to raise up ministers of the gospel, man, shame on me if I allow something else to come in to distort and water down and weaken the gospel of Christ. Amen? Grace is a teacher. Grace, in James, it says how grace teaches us pushes us towards godliness. It has to be taught sometimes in the pulpit. Sometimes we move away from that stuff because we want to fit in with everyone and everything. I don't have to fit in with stuff that, you know what? In Hebrews it says, God scourges and chastens every son whom he receives. One thing I do with my son, Owen, I talked to him last night, I'm ending with this. With children and adults, for adults and children, one of my responsibilities and duties is to raise him up to be a man of God. That there's character and there's things in his life. And I shared with him last night, I pulled him aside, and this is a good analogy. I said, you remember when I threw my back out when I went on vacation this year, so I had to hobble to the chiropractor. And what they do at the chiropractor, because I'm hunched over, they pop me back into alignment. Okay? And I said, sometimes in our lives when there's things that are out of whack, we have to be open to let the Lord, it might pop a little bit. Mm-hmm. It pops, put us back into alignment. As parents, we have that responsibility with our children. I have that responsibility here, if you're open to that as well. Things can be out of alignment, but we pop it back. And I told him, I said, the reason I do this is, and I started telling him, because God has some amazing things in your life. And if you allow this little thing to trick her up, you're not going to be walking in who God says you are. You're not going to be little foxes sometimes. And so the Lord has to give us an alignment. He scourges every son whom he receives. I was adjusted in my thinking this week. Are you open to being adjusted? Can someone correct you without copying an attitude? That's a good question for all of us to have. Can someone correct you without you copying an attitude? Sometimes I get corrected and I cop an attitude. And I might not show it out loud, but I do it in my heart, and the Lord will come back. Because there has to be a distinction. I have to be salt and light. And then as I'm constantly walking, sometimes I hit blind spots. Sometimes there's a landmine right here. I don't see it. I'm susceptible to it. And I might need Lloyd right here to say, man, brother, you have to, those who are spiritual, restore such a one in gentleness, it says in Galatians. We have to get back to that as a people of God. Amen?
Yes.
And I recognize that if I truly want to be someone who, those who turn the world upside down, who change the city, I can be completely different. I can be revolutionary in my thoughts just from living a life under the principles of the kingdom of God, because it's so contrary to what we see going on around us. It challenges me, right? It challenges me. I want to be different. I want to line back up with the first principles of Him. Jesus is my King. I allow Him to correct me. I allow Him to chasten me because I am His Son. If I fall short in a certain area in my life, that's not my identity. If I'm having a bad day, that's not my identity. If I'm having a bad thought, it's not my identity. I go back to the Word of God. Lord, who do you say that I am? I'm your Son. I'm chosen. I'm accepted. I'm beloved. And I line up with you, and that's who I am. Sons and daughters of God in the earth. By distinction of just who we are, we should be making a difference. Amen? Amen. These are just some things the Lord's been stirring in my heart. He has. And I can share more later. But the Lord's been stirring in my heart. And take the thought with you. If I'm salt and light, I want to challenge you. Find the kid who says there's 71 genders. And say, why do they believe what they believe? And go to the Word of God. Lord, what do you say about this? How does my life line up and say differently to this? Can I speak to the issues of my day in a way that brings Jesus into a situation? Can I take a young girl who's getting ready to have an abortion? And can I be able to speak and bring Christ into her situation? Amen. It's a good way to think. The Lord's been challenging me. How can we do this? Can we speak to where people live?
Because we live in a world, it's a privilege still, where people are so confused, they don't have a clue who they even are. So how can they even begin to... I get my identity, or I get my purpose and destiny to flow from my identity of who I am. And so if I don't even know who I am or why I'm here, and if as Christians we don't, we should get that too. If I don't know who I am and why am I here, it's chaos, right? It's a mess. The Lord's called us to bring change to that. Amen? To be salt to that. Salt preserves corruption. Stops corruption from happening. He has to put me out here. He has to put you out here. In 2018. For all of this. Amen. Amen. Lord, we thank you for your word. I thank you for what you've done this morning. Lord, for hearts and lives who are here.